This podcast is brought to you by
the website of doom.com.
I just heard somebody on a podcast wonder if this generation of people, they did not specify male or female, but if it's like a one generational evolution thing of people learning to masturbate with their left hands because most people operate the mouse with their right.
Oh, God. I thought I was the only one.
But you don't have to operate the mouse, right? I mean, unless you're looking at stills. You put on the video and then you just
Go to town.
If
yeah.
it doesn't work for you, you try to change it, you know.
Yeah.
Did they not have the same problem with magazines? Like, that would be much more awkward than operating a mouse.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's funny that they, you know, that it's even being considered.
Okay, so let's give it a second. Let's go for it. He knows I like a minute of silence, or a couple seconds of silence. He almost always giggles through it.
That way he can finish.
Because the second of silence allows me to get rid of the noise, like any background noise. And he always fucks it up by giggling. Now I'm fucking it up by talking over him, but...
Ladies of Earth, gentlemen, this is a message. Mars Needs Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Mars Needs Podcasts. We have a very special episode this week. We have the woman that I adore to my left. Elizabeth. And then we have the man that I am going to strangulate.
That he does not adore.
The man that I am going to asphyxiate with his own bowels.
Well, that's not hard to do. Damn near did that in the car this morning. Anyway.
I meant that I'm going...
2 seconds in, I got a fart joke. All right.
That meant that I'm going to pull them over your head. Anyway, say hi, Jason.
I didn't expect there were a joke. I thought you were just going to say 2 seconds in, I got a fart. I'm like, good, thanks for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to...
Welcome to Martin's cast, you know.
Oh, boy.
Let's not. Well, not today, anyway.
Mars Needs Pod. He slept next to a pod.
Ew.
Sorry. Well, it's like every 7 years when Spock goes through pond.
And he goes crazy when it's time, because he's been holding it for 7 years.
I mean, it's time to go through pond fart.
You know, I never made this connection before. The whole, crap.
Crap?
Well, that too. No, Invasion of the Body Snatchers with the podcast. Because you got your Martian, your alien, you got your pod, you know, there's replicas, and
Yeah.
I don't know. It just occurred to me. For
get your early Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is you don't want to start the podcast when people just like click it on, you know, hit play, and it's just nothing but.
Oh hell no! That was creepy.
That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
That and the dog.
Oh, fuck that dog.
Ugh! Kill it. Burn it with fire. That's like that's creepier than the Donald Sutherland face. I mean, it's just, it shouldn't have a human face. It's designed to make, you know, humans freak out. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's like, I don't care. I'm going to, you know, you can kill me, but get that fucking thing away from me. That's, I'm just all I'm saying. Sorry, I got to
I did
make up for the clean cast.
Which I'm still editing. so it hasn't gone up yet.
Oh, geez.
Well, it's to be fair, it's been. I sat down to edit it twice, and all it means
and
is
then
that
you got bored because it's a thing.
It's not that clean. That's the problem. Is I've got to listen to it and knock and beep a couple of spots that we didn't get. We didn't make it through.
Just a couple.
But it's been so hot that sitting in front of the computer to edit the podcast. I mean, I don't know that it's any fault of the episode, but I can't fucking stay awake because it's just been. Today's weird. A cold front came in, and so we've gotten a thunderstorm here today, which is
neat.
A cold front meaning it's like 90 out.
Yeah.
But every day here has been in the upper 90s.
Yikes.
And so, you come home from work and it's just all you can do is you take a shower to cool down and hopefully give you a 10-minute window where you have enough energy to operate. And then all the water, dries off of you and then you're back to.
Because we don't have heat like Mississippi heat. It's true. But because we don't have heat like Mississippi heat, there's no place that's air-conditioned.
Oh.
Yeah, JJ's warehouse is not air-conditioned, so
he Ooh.
Steps from a non-air-conditioned work to non-air-conditioned home. It's, Jesus. Yeah, so, yeah. The cat is suicidal.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, yeah. I mean, and cats like lying in the sun, but not this time of year, huh?
Oh, no. No, she's been on the end of the bed and hasn't really strayed from that except to drink water and eat a little kibble. And she just keeps looking like she has a headache.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she might. Like, I get heat headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't exactly ground up aspirin for her, so I'm like, I'm sorry. But, her pupils are kind of dilated and she's sort of, half-lidded, and I'm sorry.
So there's nothing I can do, yeah.
About it. I sprayed you with a water gun once. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So that just made her mad.
Yeah, she didn't think it was funny.
Like, come on, it's a cold shower. It works for me, try it.
Nope. It's called punishment.
But we only get, these really nasty summers here in Portland, once every 7 to 10 years.
No. It's been every 3 years.
Okay, to me this seems like the worst one since we lived in Clackamas.
No,
you're right. We had that one that was here, the one that would sit in the chair,
the one where you could touch the woodwork and it was hot. It was hot like somebody had held a hairdryer against it.
Yeah, I remember.
I pulled a box of crackers out of the cabinet and I was like, this box of crackers is hot to the touch.
Yeah, I forgot
That was bullshit. It was 110 every day.
Yeah, because there was that. I remember sitting down to record a podcast, actually, and
going to sleep.
Well, it was when we had that first metal chair we had here. And I was confession in my underwear because it was recording on Skype. And I sat down on the chair and it felt like sitting on the hood of a car or something.
Yeah, and it was inside. It was stupid.
Yeah, the metal.
It was not an exaggeration.
I had to put on shorts because the metal was too hot to touch my legs. And I was like, ow!
Yeah, that year.
Shit.
That year was bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was here. It's the West Coast. So if it snows, you go, this summer's going to suck.
Oh, no.
Because you get the extremes. The pendulum eventually, mellows out, and then you get 50-degree winter and a 70-degree summer, and then it'll swing back out, and you're like, oh, crap, we got a week of snow, which means it's gonna hit 100 and stay there for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you sent me the photo of the snow, I was like...
Yeah, you turned it into a cartoon.
Yeah, which, sorry, because, that brought the heat.
That's okay, it was fine.
it's supposed to cool down into the 80s by this weekend, so that'll be something.
Well, that's something, At least you won't burn yourself sitting on your own furniture. Jesus.
Yeah.
I'd rather take... Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'd rather take a chair shot to the face than have to sit on one that was that, like... It's like, at least you get to drive now. It's like, oh, thank Christ, air conditioning, you know.
Yes, the work van that I use. It has been lately getting cool enough first thing in the morning. I'm not going to say cold. I mean, it's not like you get up in the morning and you want to put on a jacket or anything, but it gets cooler enough that you can kind of get some sleep.
Yeah.
So it's cool enough that I probably still don't need to run the air conditioner like all the way up. But yeah. I do when I drive to work, just because I basically want to get out of a van that I can see my breath, because I know that has to last 8 hours.
Just absorb it in as much as you can. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, geez.
It's like we did a we were moving a this it was just impossible dresser that we were moving out of this person's house that the only thing I can figure is they must have actually grown the tree inside the house and like carved it and made it inside the house, because there was no way that this damn thing fit. Ooh. Into the upstairs place where it was, because we had to take it apart to get it out of the damn place. But it meant that we carried it down a flight of stairs. It didn't fit, so we carried it up the flight of steps. We flipped it. We carried it down the flight of steps. It didn't work, so we carried it up the set of steps. So let's try it this way. So we carry it back down. We carry it back up.
Sounds like a Laurel and Hardy routine. I mean,
It was, with the exception of, by the time we did it the fourth time, we had taken legs off of it, and we'd taken anything off of it that stuck out, which means it was nothing but a long rectangle that we were carrying.
Yeah.
And I was sweating so bad that it was puddling on the dresser, because it was pouring off my face so bad.
Yeah.
It basically reminded me that I really need to wear a headband for the rest of this week. Just because if I have to leave the house, if I have to leave and go to work, it's just bad. But my hands were so sweaty that we couldn't get a grip on the damn thing.
Imagine his were too.
It's, yeah, exactly. Oh, it's what made, it was like if Laurel and Hardy, it's like what Laurel and Hardy are performing in hell, basically. It's like, I don't know if we can get this piano down the stairs, Ollie. Drenched with sweat and the ties stuck to his chest.
His hat's gone flat because it's soaked through so much. Yeah. Ugh. Oh.
Laurel and Hardy in hell.
That's like, yeah, Miss... Go ahead.
that's funny. I'm just laughing about that. Yeah. That's all I was doing. I know. Just reconfirming that was funny.
Did
that's actually hilarious.
Yes. God, I love that line so much.
What is that?
That's actually hilarious.
It's a tiny line in Scott Pilgrim that we have to play over and over and over again. It's pretty good.
It's a Chris Evans line. He grabs his phone. It's when the doubles are beating up Scott Pilgrim. He grabs his phone, he reads something, and he kind of chuckles to himself. And then he looks at it and goes, that's actually hilarious. You don't even know what he's referring to.
Yeah.
It's a great line.
Yep.
I remember that now. It's been a while since I've watched, so I own it, but it's been a little while since I've seen it. So.
Oh, I understand. I don't have to watch it anymore. It's all completely up in my head. It's one of those, I can just close my eyes and there it is.
Yeah.
Its entirety.
It's kind of refreshing, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of like any Edgar Wright movie.
Yeah.
Hey.
Not End of the World so much, because I haven't had a chance to watch it as much.
I've seen it twice.
Twice or thrice.
I could watch it on the daily, but that's just me.
No, it's a great film, of course.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to be that familiar with Ant-Man. Yeah. So, have you done anything exciting this week?
Yes. Sort of. I mean, it was funny. I went and saw a Riff Trax movie.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, they did Sharknado, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where?
At Tinseltown, Cinemark.
Fathom.
Fathom, yeah. Whoever does the Fathom events, you know.
Right.
Nah, they yeah. I think. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tinseltown, Cinemark, whatever theater is the only one that does them here. But hey, hell yeah, I got to see it.
Nice. I have not seen Sharknado, and I have never seen any Riff Tracks live.
Oh, okay. It's pretty damn funny. If you get a chance, I do recommend it.
Nice. Yeah, and that's Mike.
Bill and Kevin Murphy, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bill, you know, the one I embarrassed myself at in front of at Dragon Con. I basically just walked in and went, and just walked off with a dumb grin on my face. Like, that was translated. I was like, you guys are cool. You know, I really dig what you do, you know. But yeah, it was just total. It's like, I don't ever get that flustered. It's like just mush mouth.
If it goofball. Helps you, that's you're one of several, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah. You know.
I mainly think of Bill Corbett as the guy who saved us from James Erpaniak.
Oh, yes. And then now, yeah, that was my other goof moment. Yeah, right after that, too. It's like,
yeah.
First one up to Bill, and I'm sure I've told this on the podcast.
Yeah, but not everybody's heard it, so we should probably explain. Hopefully we get new listeners from time to time.
That'd be nice. And, or, you know, maybe some of them have forgotten the story, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they did the quiz show, you know, at Dragon Con, and, you know, after everything let out, we're, you know, waiting on our favorite Irishman to get out of there. I think that's what we're doing. We're just kind of chilling out in the hallway.
Which one's your favorite?
I was about to say, Fitzy was at Dragon Con that later.
Was he?
I don't know. I just was trying to give Aaron some shit.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that was the first year I was there, I think.
Okay.
So and that would have been, because I missed Aaron and Fitzy, you know, the year before.
Yeah.
And I think it was just Aaron that time.
Okay.
Maybe?
Have you met Fitzy? You've met Fitzy. Okay.
Yeah, he was there at the last one I went to.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Was it the last one?
Fuck yeah, I
don't know. There was one time it was...
He was at the last year's. He was at last year's.
Right, but it was... Yeah, Jason was at last year's.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason
missed
the year before because of the hurricane.
Yeah. And the year before that is when was the influx of the Irish.
Right.
That was when everybody...
Right. So basically you're saying we were waiting for Steve.
Yeah. Okay. Or Ian. But yeah, anyway, so, you know, but some of the contestants, you know, were all famous, you know, bunch of people that were...
Like some of them were all famous. Others were only partly famous.
Well, it depends on, you know, who you know and what circles you're in.
Exactly.
You know? Some you may not recognize and some, you know, you might be their biggest fan, so you don't know.
Tom Cruise, all famous.
Right.
Yes.
Jonathan Colton, partly famous.
Yeah.
See?
Okay.
See the connection between them, too? Genius.
Yes. Thank you. See, that's what
crazy.
I meant to say. Thank you for clarifying. Yes, that is awesome.
You were accidentally incredibly accurate.
Which is the only way I am, is incredibly by chance, you know.
I've been trying to remember. There's a line in a movie where somebody, like, falls and ends up doing something amazing as they fall. And somebody who sees it goes, wow, that guy is so accidentally cool. And I've been trying to remember what that line is because I did something accidentally cool this week and I haven't been able to remember what movie that's from. Anyway, but please continue the story. So some of the people were all famous and some were half famous.
I won't say who because I don't, in case they're listening, I don't want to embarrass them, you know. I'm embarrassed myself enough there.
Yeah, I'm not saying who, just you know that you're only half famous, Doc Hammer.
Hey. Well, you know, my mom doesn't know who he is. She knows who Tom Cruise is, but, you know, she may not know who Doc Hammer is.
So there you go. Yeah. Fuck. That line's from fucking Happy Feet. I hated that movie, but that's a good line.
Oh, Jesus.
You now need to reenact that scene from The Crying Game.
Yeah, really. No, I'll do it from Ace Ventura.
Okay. Oh, okay, good, because I haven't seen The Crying Game, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
But if it's similar to the Sean Young scene in...
it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, is it similar to the Jay and Silent Bob scene where he turns around and is like, yeah, okay. He does the old swan song tuck thing there. Yeah. But anyway, and Bill Corbett was doing it too. No.
So Bill Corbett was tucking his penis, walking
in the hallway,
walking by going, I'd fuck me.
He might, you know. I don't know. I don't think he'd fuck
right-handed,
me.
Right-handed, who knows?
Most guys have.
Huh?
Most guys have fucked Jason.
I hope
you're
not.
You're just now hearing of this?
That's news to me. It's a shame it doesn't. You know,
well, you're a heavy sleeper.
I guess so.
You were telling a story, sorry.
Doesn't matter.
You might be able to finish it by the end of the podcast. Keep going.
Hey.
So anyway, so a half-famous Bill Corbett was fucking you in your sleep.
I got nothing. I went blank. It's like, I can't defend that because I was asleep. You know, I don't know. I mean, you were there. He would have had to be between us. At least I think that was you. Maybe that was Bill. I don't know. I probably went to sleep first, so I don't know who was, you know, the dude next to me.
Dig up.
I can't. My feet are tied. Anyway. The cement.
But, yeah, so...
You tell it, because I can't get my brain.
Okay, so anyway.
No. Jason, go for it.
Jason was
that would be the hanging brain. But anyway,
Jason was getting raped by a half-famous Bill Corbett, at which point he turned to him and went, but his dick was in his mouth, so he didn't really come across as eloquent as he wanted to. And so he embarrassed himself in front of Bill Corbett because he was trying to talk with his mouth full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... Okay. That's one way of putting it. Now I must clarify. I had just seen Jack the Giant Killer that the Riff Trax had, you know, had done. You know, it's the old classic, you know, stop motion one. You know.
Nice.
And I was like, well, this is actually a fun movie that they're making fun of. But, you know, it's not without its quirks. And, you know, so it was good. It was a good one. And I just saw it like a week or so before. And I was going to go, oh, shit, you know, there's Bill Corbett. I got to tell him, and that's, like, big fan, you know, I love what y'all did with that. But I just came out like a squealing Beatles fan almost. It's kind of like, and I was like, oh, it's like, he was my George Harrison at the Ed Sullivan Show. I don't know. yeah, because he's not quite Paul and John Love. But, you know what I mean, yeah.
Right.
And I was like, oh, God. I think he just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, cool, thanks. I mean, he seemed to appreciate it, but I felt like I kind of interrupted their conversation. And then it's kind of like, okay, my face is turning as red as a stop sign. I'm going to go over here and be quiet. And damned if it wasn't like right, like a minute later, if there's James Urbaniak standing like right next to us. I was like, oh, shit. You know, it's like, okay, I just embarrassed myself in front of Bill Corbett. I can't do that again.
So that was the same night. Okay, because I remember the reason that we got to talking to Urbaniak is because, if I remember correctly, he was standing behind you, and I said, there's James Urbaniak. And you turned around as he heard his name, and then there was eye contact, and it was sort of a, you know, oh, hi.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know much of your work beyond the Venture Brothers, but I'm a big fan of the Venture Brothers, And he was part of the quiz show, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, if I had thought about it, I do know a little bit more of his work. You know, like, he was really good in American Splendor.
Oh, crap, he was.
As Robert Crumb.
Yeah, I saw that, but I've forgotten.
Yeah, you know, but, well, that's because the thing is, we weren't thinking about it. We were just going, oh, look, it's James Urbaniak. And so then James Urbaniak turns to talk to us, at which point we're like, oh, hey, yeah, we like you. And he said, thanks. And then there was this sort of awkward moment of where it was obviously a chance where we could have had an in-depth conversation with James Urbaniak.
And I think he was almost expecting it.
But
you know?
We were not prepared.
Oh, no. I sure as hell wasn't expecting him right behind me, much less as like, hey, you know, I'm... I'm just getting over, you know, making my once. Blah. See, I'm still tongue-tied. 5 years later. Anyway, but yeah, I just got finished making a dumbass of myself to that guy. I'm not going to do this again. And just then, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, and then there was this really weird part where, you know, you have a certain amount of time where this is the polite time to end this conversation.
Yeah.
But it went past that, and so then it was just sort of three guys awkwardly staring at one another, not wanting to be the guy going, okay, I have to go fold laundry in the toaster, and my iron's on. Bye.
Yeah.
And so that's when the magical Corbett came by and went, James, our transport's here, let's go.
He's like, oh, thank God.
And so that's why I love Bill Corbett.
He said our transport is here?
Yeah, that's what they call it. The transport team is who...
Okay, it just sounded very sci-fi.
Yeah.
Pulls out his communicator.
Yeah.
All right.
Two way team. That's your parent.
Basically, their security, you know, their entourage to help guide them through the crowds, you know?
Yeah.
And the awkward nerd who can't get his tongue straight. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Get him out. Scoot, scoot. I know that look. You know, move along. Move along. You can't speak right now anyway.
Were you there the year that Frank put me in my place, though?
No, I don't think so.
So they so it was at a table. It was Frank Contiff.
And Trace Ballou.
Yeah, Trace and Bill, I think, was there as well.
Okay.
I know it was Trace. I know it was Frank and Trace, and there was a third person.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were outside the Walk of Fame, and they were just sitting at a table. And I know I've told them the story as well, but I'll repeat it.
Oh, crap. I was there. I remember thinking, holy crap, what are you guys doing out here? You should be in there, you know, with the, you know. That's what my brain was thinking, you know.
Exactly. Being there with the more ridiculously famous people. Because yeah. There's people in there that don't deserve to be in there as much as you do, because you guys are the MST3K guys.
Yeah.
And I really do think that the MST3K guys managed to do something that you don't get to do very often. They created a new kind of comedy.
Yeah.
Before them... Nobody did anything like that, and now anytime you do anything like that, you are doing, you know, well, it's like even when Elizabeth and I saw the second time we saw the second Lord of the Rings movie, The Two Towers, we went in the middle of the afternoon, and for some reason the movie just struck us as hilarious, and so
we were working in the bakery at that time, though, so we probably weren't sleeping.
Yeah, we were probably not sleeping. We were a little delirious, and so we were like,
so everything was funny.
Yeah, and so but even then we were like, I don't know what caused us to MST3K that entire film, but you know, but yeah, so it's they are synonymous with something that is uniquely theirs.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of an extension of Rocky Horror, but not completely.
Yeah.
Because it's original thought as opposed to
rote groupthink. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you could even say it kind of came out of Horror Hosts, you know, of the whole like Elvira Vampira kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yet, they made fun of the film, you know, in commercial breaks. Whereas this, the thing, you know, you didn't really give a shit about the movie as much. You wanted to hear what the guys were going to say about it.
Yeah.
You know, when was the last time anybody went out of their way to watch the Vampire and the Aztec Mummy? I mean, I basically just wanted to say, I said something along the lines of, I want to thank you guys for all the work you've done. I think it's amazing the way you guys just completely changed comedy. And Frank went, yeah, it's too bad we didn't change it for the better.
What?
And I was like, well, because he was just being, you know, he's a funny guy. And I was like, oh, shit. You just fucking comedy served me. I have been comedy served.
Wow. That's just like, I have no response to that. It's just one of those kind of, what do you say? It's like, nothing. He just, might as well have just dropped the mic and walked off, man. It's like, bitches, you know, and just.
I mean, in all honesty, that's kind of what happened. I mean, you just kind of laugh and go, you win. Bye.
Yeah.
So, Elizabeth.
What?
I was hoping you would share with us a little bit of your Friday night.
So, yeah, what celebrity did you embarrass yourself in front of? We told Howard.
Oh, I've got more.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Oh, there's the time I yelled at Rainn Wilson.
Oh, that is, yeah.
Probably deserve it, but, you know.
He did. He was breaking the law. Well, I don't even know if it's a law. It's more of a guideline. No, it's federal regulation.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to leave your bags unattended in the airport. I was working in the airport. I came back. I had taken a 10-minute break. I had been working at the kids' desk. Let's just keep going back in explanation. So I'd been working at the kids' desk, and when you take a break there, you just put up your little closed sign and wander off. So I put up my little closed sign, and I wandered off. And the kids' desk, as it is called, and at a bookstore at the airport, is a podium, essentially. And so I got back to my podium, and there were bags collected there. Well, it was my job when I worked out there to be ever vigilant for unattended bags or for suspicious behavior. You are required to report it. But mostly what you do is you try to find the owner of the bag. You know, you do your best to find the owner of the bag, and if you can't, then you call the port police. I've had to do that a few times.
Ooh.
But just as is my way, because I am a tremendously vocal person, gotten me in trouble before, I come back to my podium and I go, who has left their bags here? Who would do such a thing? And this person, and I'm not even looking at them, I'm looking at the bags, but this person, like, out of the corner of my eye, I see this person pop up from where they're squatting in the corner looking at the kids' activity books, and it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, and he rushes around, and, like, I'm still looking at the bags, because at this point, I'm going, oh my god, there's some really good photography books in there. This person has great taste, because they've been clearly to the big Powell's downtown. But, I see this curly head bend down and grab it and, like, in front of me. And I'm like, that voice really sounded familiar. That's crazy. And then, so he's like, I'm so sorry. I was trying to get them out of the way. And I look up and I'm like, oh, shit. I just fucking yelled at Rainn Wilson. Well, I'm going to pretend I don't know who the fuck he is. So I don't acknowledge it. I'm like, it's okay. You just can't leave your bags unattended in the airport. It's federal regulations. He's like, oh, okay. Can you help me find a book for my son, Walt? And I was like, sure. And he was like, he's really interested in mazes. And I'm like, okay, we might have some books on mazes inside. I'm like, if we don't have a book on mazes, I'm going to construct one. But, because I just fucking yelled at Rainn Wilson. But, and like, is that not a random thing to drop into your life? That's pretty random.
All the people, it had to be somebody you knew, you know?
Be somebody you know, and it has to be somebody who's, like, I mean, he's a big deal, but he's not Tom Cruise. He's not, like, it's the thing that we talked about when we were living in L.A., where your interactions with the stars, like, sometimes will be something like, oh, shit. That was fucking Warren Beatty, you know? But wow. It wasn't, he used to come into the coffee shop where I worked.
And other times it's like,
so crazy.
And then other times it's like, oh, I think that person used to be on 90210.
Yes, most of your interactions are like that, you know? But so it's the weird random ones. Like, you're like, okay, that's crazy. And I have seen, like, all your little indie films. Like, that's really stupid. Because, we have. For Rainn Wilson, We've watched all his little indie films.
Pretty much, I think we've seen everything but maybe The Rocker.
Yeah, we haven't seen The Rocker, but, like, who the fuck has seen Super? Cool people. But anyway,
it's in my Netflix queue.
It's really good.
Watch it.
See, you've at least heard of it. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. You have no idea.
Watch it, and you'll get even more confident that Guardians of the Galaxy will be pretty good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because that's the same director, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to be. It's also not going to be, I imagine, everything that the preview makes it look like.
No.
It's probably going to have some moments that are like, oh, that's uncomfortable. But, yeah. Ooh. Oh, no, super.
Super, yeah. Slither, all these movies sort of at some point make you go,
yeah, I'm really not comfortable. But anyway, so yeah, we searched through and then I found a Maze book that was Monsters Ate My City, I think was the name of it. And I was like, yeah, okay, will this do? And he, you know, he takes it over. It was that and there was like one other and he takes it over and Walt very carefully considers the two of them. And he's like, this one, and he does choose the monster one, which I think is an exhibit of good taste.
Mm-hmm. Well, you picked it, so sure.
Well, thank you. But anyway, so yeah, we finished the transaction. And then this Christmas Eve, I'm at the airport and see Concourse store, and who comes in? Rainn Wilson and his son.
Oh, no.
I've also seen his wife, but she kind of like hangs in the background.
She's an author, right?
She's an author. Yeah, so, oh, okay. Yeah, she's cool. But she, yeah, so my interactions have been largely with Rainn Wilson and a little bit with his son, Walt. Yeah, and this time he gets a couple of gift cards. And he gets a book for his son. His son, again, wants a kid's book, but he wants a middle reader. I want to say it was one of the Percy Jackson books.
Oh.
So okay. I think it was a Rick Riordan book. But anyway, I know, pointless details. But so I'm like, please, God, let us have that book in the series. We have one copy. So I'm like, oh, here you go. And it's $9.99. And, you know, what do you do? And he's like, oh, good. His son's pretty chill. So he leaves to go find the mom, and Rainn Wilson is paying for the book and two gift cards, and it all comes to $129.99. And this is Rainn fucking Wilson. He's got office money, right? So he goes, $129? And all of a sudden he looks really agitated, and I'm like, shit, I don't have my thumb on the scale. That's, you got, you got this and this, and he stops, and he goes, quick calculations in his head, like he's like mouthing it, and then he goes, yeah, okay, cool. And I'm like, oh, good, because I was afraid you were going to yell at me this time. I don't say this. And again, I'm like, yes, sir, it should be, blah, blah, blah. Completely sterile voice, right? And so he hands me his credit card, and then he goes, oh, and then pulls out his driver's license and hands it to me, and I'm like, yes, Mr. Wilson, I totally need to see your driver's license. If there's anybody in the world that looks like themselves in person, it's Rainn fucking Wilson, right?
Was he wearing black spectacles?
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah. Rainn Wilson looks like Rainn Wilson.
Well, actually, I know he does sometimes wear contacts. So, I mean, he looks a little less like himself with the contacts.
No, he doesn't. You haven't seen him in person.
That's true.
It's like, maybe he remembered last time. I was like, well, she didn't know who I was last time. So just in case, here's my driver's license.
Part of me hopes that because he did smirk. Because what I did was I carefully did what you do when someone hands you their driver's license and their credit card. You hold one on top of the other and you carefully look at them. And then you hand the driver's license back first and you go, thank you, sir. And you swipe the card.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what I did. And it was like, your credit card. Nothing. And I don't know if this mark was like, she didn't recognize me this time, maybe this will work, or I don't expect to be remembered. Unless it's like, oh, I hope that bitch doesn't yell at me again.
Like, just make sure he does everything by the numbers, you know, it's like, here, I got my own bags, you know, they're...
Right, exactly. But no, I don't recognize you. Mm-mm. Yes, I know you're Rainn Wilson. Don't hand me your driver's license.
Look, motherfucker, I saw you in House of a Thousand Corpses. I saw you on 6 Feet Under. I saw you in all this shit before the office.
I've seen
this
shit before anybody knew who you were. I know who Fish... I know what the phrase Fish Boy means.
Yeah. That's what he gets turned into in Thousand Corpses. Spoiler!
Oh, yeah. Ew.
It's been a while. It's so funny, though.
I know.
They call you a cheerleader. You ain't done fuck all to cheer me up since you got here.
Give me a beat.
Yeah. I've got the movie poster. I should know this.
You do? Nice.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the movie and got home, and hopped on eBay and ordered like an official double sided, you know, full size movie poster.
Nice.
I was like, yeah.
You got to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
That's weird.
We did not.
Oh. Oh, okay.
No, we saw it at home. But we saw it. You saw Devil's Rejects in the theater.
I did.
And then we both saw both of the Halloween movies in the theater. It was like, yeah, we're one and two of ten people in the Americas who saw.
No, we didn't. Neither of us saw Lords of Salem. Mm. I don't even know if it played around here.
I know it didn't play here. I didn't get to see it till, you know, Netflix or something, you know.
Yeah, and I still haven't.
Hmm?
What do you think?
I saw it once. I mean, it was Rob Zombie. It's, you know, it's nuts and weird, and it's just, it's kind of hard to describe. I saw it, once. I need to see it again, though, but, I enjoyed it. It was good. It's definitely worth checking out, though.
Okay.
You sound like you're talking to someone after you've seen their really bad play.
Oh.
Like, oh no, you were, I could hear you all the way in the back row, so you can really project.
You looked so good in that costume.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's hard to describe, you know, without giving any kind of, you know, indication of, you know, since you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
Yeah. I am not good at, you know, giving non-spoiler descriptions of anything.
No, I understand.
You mean you weren't going to give it your usual, I liked it, it was good.
She dies at the end.
Well, no, I don't know.
Ripley!
But then she comes back, you know, again and again.
The bitch came back the very next day. So, again, I still want you to share with us what you did on Friday, because it was awesome.
Oh, so I'm taking a social justice class, and...
Come on, you have to say that like a superhero. Social justice!
Yeah, except the entire class makes you feel like you have never been a hero in your life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, let's talk about your privilege for a while. I don't want to talk about my privilege. Can I talk about my oppression? Not yet. Let's talk about your privilege. But anyway, so there were a couple assignments, and one of them just felt sort of icky to me. I know it's not necessarily icky, but icky.
It was like going to someone's house? Oh,
yeah, sorry. No, I mean, you don't do it without their permission.
Right. Oh.
That's kind of a B&E. Yeah, you don't want
to
do that.
That would be far more exciting. I might have had more difficulty deciding which assignment to do if one of them was breaking and entering. But, but no.
Then the cops showed up. Yeah.
Right. First, break into an immigrant's home. But but one of the assignments was you and a one or two other white people go into some first or second generation home and talk to them about their experience. Examine their neighborhood, you know, and if you can, their school, and write up a paper on it. And I was like, that's a white anthropologist. That's like, I want to come in and talk to you about how you live and how you got here. But, you know, some other people were able to do it. Their project sounded better than my imagination. But I was like, no. And she goes, this was the first day of class, she was like, if you don't want to do that, or if you would like, you can also do a police ride-along. And I was like, sold! So, yeah, I had to fill out a form here and turn it into Central Precinct. And I requested, I think that part of the reason I got to do it so quickly was because I was like, I will do this overnight. And, yeah, so I got off of work on Friday and went to the police station and got to ride in a cop car until a little after two in the morning. Wow. Probably around 2:30. The cop drove me home. Wasn't that nice? She was like, you're in my beat anyway, you know? So.
Did he look like Ice Cube? Or is it, no, that was the movie Ride Along. Never mind.
You just made the same mistake
I did. Yeah. No, and I talked about this. I was like, in my head, I kept thinking, I'm going to be in a cop car with a guy. And, like, I never thought the words guy, cop, but, like, I just, in you know, because you're, of course, you're thinking about it the whole week like, leading up to it. You're like, what's going to happen? But, yeah, it wasn't until Officer Amy, came out and, like, shook my hand. I was like, no, I'm going to be riding with a 5'3" blonde tonight.
Cool.
So yeah, it was interesting. The first part of the night was more excitement than I expected.
Well, just for the record, I wasn't
trying to be
chauvinistic. I was like, that movie was very popular, and hey, Ride Along, you know.
Ride Along. No,
and he was the cop. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No,
it's just that was a mistake I was making, and actually, as I've told people about it, people have universally gone, "Oh, what was he like?" Or some variation of that.
And I was like, expecting a guy.
Actually, Amy was great. And then I was like, why was I expecting a guy? Like, I don't know their female police officers. There have at least been female police officers as long as that Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Ah, yes. We know the lines.
We know the line, don't we?
Ah, good old Sir Psycho Sexy.
So, you know, they've been around a while.
Yeah.
That's not Psycho Sexy. That's Apache Rose Peacock.
Right.
It's still up Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the end, when it all blends together, it's one long song about fucking.
Yeah.
It's
isn't
great.
That most of their songs?
Yeah. Or Shooting Up.
Yeah.
Or Shooting Out. That's also sexual, but anyway.
But yeah, so the first part of your night was exciting because?
Well, first off, I knew it was going to be at least marginally cool. I knew that going into it, but when... So they did roll call, and I was there for that. They hand around pictures of perps. Just like, you know, the boring parts of every cop drama that you watch on TV. Right? Like, these are, you know, seen last in Clackamas Town Center, blah, 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 suspect.
Of course, Clackamas Town Center.
Yada, yada. It always comes up, doesn't it? It always does. But anyway.
That's so where they had that shooting a couple years ago.
Yeah. They pass around the, you know, the pictures of people who, you know, whom they've got to look out for. And they make a couple of other announcements. And then it's time to go, and Amy's, like, loading up her bag with all the stuff. They open up a cabinet at one point, though, and, oh, God! It's Amy and another officer go over to this huge metal cabinet, and they open the doors, and they each pull out a box, and I look in, and I'm like, there is nothing else in this cabinet. The cabinet is filled to the brim with latex gloves. It's like...
Wow.
Boxes and boxes and boxes of latex gloves. If you are with the cops all night... They're, like, gloves, 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 every situation. She was like, we handle some really nasty people.
Ew.
You know, it's okay. These people can't bathe regularly. Some of the people that that would be nearly all the people that we encountered that night. There was a lot of interactions with indigents and such. But
$5 word, nice.
You're welcome. But...
Look it up in the dictionary, people. Indigence.
But there's a lot of there's a lot of reasons to have gloves. Things you pick up that, you know, people have dropped that you got to put in a little plastic baggie or whatever. Yeah,
sure.
So gloves.
Don't want to put your fingerprints on something that could be evidence. You know, makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. That is just filthy.
Yeah, but she's
that looks like a that's used. Ew. Okay.
Ew. Yeah. Ew. Yeah. Well,
could be a condom, could be a syringe. You never know. It just evidence. Just
could be
put it in the bag.
Yeah.
Is that a used poop?
Is that a shit?
That
oh my
fresh.
Gosh.
It's fresh. But anyway, so yeah, lots and lots of gloves. They go through gloves like water. But she, you know, she's loading up her bag with all the stuff that she's got to take. and her water bottle, and she puts things on the counter, and she turns to me, and she says the coolest thing that anybody has ever said to me in my entire life. She says, "Stand right here. I've got to go get a shotgun."
Wow.
And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." And she walks away, and I'm like, "Stand right here. I've got to go get a shotgun." I am going to remember that the rest of my life.
But then tell her what you said about the shotgun when you got in the car.
Oh, yeah. We get in the car, and she's like, "I'm going to load my shotgun in the car because that's just what I like to do." And I'm like, "Sure, you know, but I'm not here to interrupt your night." And she does. She's talking to me while she's loading the shotgun. And at one point during the night, it was actually later in the night.
Oh, okay.
She got, "Oh, yeah, no, this apparently didn't happen for any of the other ride-alongs. Nobody said this to any of the other ride-alongs. There were two other people who had done ride-alongs."
Yeah,
and they were like, "Somebody said that to you?" And I'm like, "Well, she didn't make it sound like I could do it at a whim, but she showed me how to." She was like, this is halfway through the night. She goes, "If anything happens, just so you know, I tend to show people this. It doesn't make everybody comfortable. And if it doesn't make you comfortable, you are under no obligation to do this. But this is the switch that releases the shotgun clip in the back that's like holding the cuff that's holding it on. So you just flip this here and you hear that clicking noise. That means you can pull the shotgun down." And I'm like, "Okay."
Oh, shit.
Well, she's like, "Yeah, I know. This sounds like I'm making it up, but this is actually true." And she goes, "So, you know, and don't, this is like if I'm, this is only if I'm like bleeding on the ground because somebody has shot me. So like you are not, you know, and if it doesn't make you comfortable, you never have to fire the shotgun." And I'm like, "Well, now I feel like I do."
It's like, now I want to. I mean,
no. But yeah, you said that if something happened to her, you were authorized to use the shotgun.
I like, "Yes, ma'am. I've
Hell yeah.
never fired anything in my life other than a super soaker, so this is going to be interesting, but..."
Well, the cop said I could.
I could. I at least want to hit that little button and hear that click. But, so that's fun. Because the shotgun goes in between the seats, clicks in the place. Okay. Yeah.
So then what was the first thing? Because you told me that you... as soon as you got in the vehicle, said shit sticks.
And way to ruin it.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
No, go for it.
But so she's like, she's taking her time wiping the door down and the steering wheel down with alcohol wipes because she's like, "These cars get so gross because we handle gross people all night." I'm like, okay, cool. But So she's wiping that stuff down. She's doing, getting ready for her night, putting everything in place. And as soon as she gets in and we strap in ourselves in with the seatbelts, the radio announces that there's somebody on 5th and Flanders waving a gun in the air, reportedly. And she goes, "Shit sticks." And I have to say, if you want to see an impressive scene really quickly, all you have to do is wave a gun around just like 5 minutes after roll call has been called, because we were just around the corner and like every cop that had just come on was just there. And so, boom, it's a whole line of us with the lights going, driving like a matter of blocks to get to 5th and Flanders. And that was some exciting driving.
Wow.
Inner city driving, and there's people, the bars are full because it's just that part of town, and like people spilling out and trying to cross the street, and the cop car is doing like movie cop car speed through downtown. Damn. And you're just sort of strapped in going, "I'm going to my happy place. I'm going to my happy place."
It's like, she's a professional. She knows what she's doing. You are definitely on a ride along now. It's like a roller coaster. Just hang tight.
Yeah.
This is cool and scary.
And scary. And she goes, "Do not leave the car. Do not leave the car." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm not going to leave the car."
Like, "Oh no, the shotgun's in here, and I know how to
stay right here by my Teddy shotgun."
No, got my finger on the switch.
I know, and I'm sending JJ texts. I'm like, I've been ordered not to leave the car. And he's like, oh, wow, what the fuck's happening? And I'm like, I don't know. But every cop in Portland is just ahead. But yeah, so they are at least in Central Precinct. And yeah, I couldn't see the action from where I was. I was far enough away. But there was no action, as luck would have it. You know, 6 to 8 cop cars show up, and the guy with the gun just gets down on his knees and lies down. He was
oh shit.
Yeah, suspect was compliant.
That's good. Yeah. In the long run, that's good.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
For the record, while she was going through that, guess what I was doing?
You're good.
I was sitting on the floor in the living room eating pizza and watching WWE's Top 50 Finishing Moves.
Nice. Oh, the rest of the evening was not that exciting, but it was, I mean, it was good. It was very good. I didn't want it to be exciting because exciting cop nights are misfortune for other people. You know? So I was around for things like we did arrest someone. And I did ride in a car with someone who had been arrested behind me.
Perpetrator.
He was a 6'5" Romanian.
Oh crap.
Yes, with the that's true. That was really endearing, actually. She had patted him down and collected his belongings before putting him in the car, obviously, like you do. So you don't want any surprises when you go to take them out of the car, right? But anyway, so she's taking all his stuff all of his stuff. It wasn't even that much. It was really sad. It was like $2 and a nickel and an empty cigarette pack. It was so sad. But anyway, so
it's like you're a big, you know, Romanian. You expect, you know, a cape and, you know, a giant mustache and some fangs or something. No, that's Transylvania. Yeah, anyway.
You know, something like that. Related.
A big Romanian in his pocket would have like an entire gymnast team.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so we get to jail and they're, you know, processing him, and that means they give him another pat down, like a more thorough pat down, apparently. And they start giving her a hard time because they find something in the little pocket under his jeans, you know, the tiny one that looks like it's for watches or something obsolete.
Or as my coworker said, it's for all the fucks that you give during the day.
Nice. Did Amy say that?
No, that was David.
Oh, okay. But, so the tiny little fuck pocket.
That's where I put my tiny little fuck phone, because it's old and small and still fits there.
I like it. But anyway, so they find something and they're like, oh, Amy didn't find this. And she's like, what? You're shitting me. She had a really foul mouth. I was very happy. but they pull something large and black out and throw it at her. And it's a toy ant. It's a big plastic toy ant.
What the hell?
I know. And she picks it up and she goes, what the fuck is this, a spider? And the Romanian guy, I probably shouldn't say his name, but he goes, it's an ant. And he looks really offended. I know. And I was like, oh, poor guy. But that's the sort of thing, though, that I guess you don't really carry around unless it's got some sort of meaning to you, you know? So, you know. Yeah,
that's when it was in the little pocket, so you wouldn't lose it.
Yeah, exactly. So you built a whole narrative about this plastic ant that, you know, it's in the plastic baggie. He's going to get it back.
So I kept this plastic ant up my ass every day.
So, you know, the rest of the night was stuff like that.
God, crazy.
Yeah, and you can probably do this. This is a citizen's right. If you want to go down to your local police station and say, I want to do a ride-along, you just fill out some paperwork. It's not that hard.
Wow. Okay.
If you choose to do it, it's fun.
Yeah. Maybe not in Jackson, but...
Yeah, it would be less fun in Jackson. You're right.
Yeah. It might be more of an adrenaline surge than I would care for.
Yes.
That would be some neighborhoods here. I wasn't sure what to expect from Central Precinct. Yeah. It wasn't things like that.
I didn't know. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't realize you could just do that. I thought it was... okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told one of my friends at work... Well, I told a few of my friends and some people at work, but there was one person at work that I was like, I'm going to wait till the last minute because I just am... I'm going to savor the look on his face because I knew he would be the most jealous. And it was my buddy Ryan. He and I share very similar taste in books, you know. The Richard Price hardcore kind of drama stuff. And
Richard Price, who wrote Clockers and most other things.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
And, okay, now I know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly who he mentioned when I told him. I was like, yeah, well, you know, when I leave. He was like, what time are you getting off work today? And I was like, oh, I'm getting off at 7, 8. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's the same time I'm getting off. And I was like, yeah. And it's going to be a really long night for me because I'm doing a police ride-along. And he just looks at me like, why do you get chocolate cake and I don't?
Aww.
I know. And he was like, you can do that? And I was like, yeah, it's for my class in social justice. And he was like, wow, okay, well, that's some Richard Price kind of shit. And I was like, yeah, I guess it is. Let's hope it's not that interesting. And he was like, right. And I said, well, you can do one too. And he was like, I can? And I'm like, yes, you can have a cookie. You know, I'm like, yeah, that was fun. It's evil of me to have enjoyed that as much as I did.
Oh, no. Take pleasure where you can.
It's like I'm your plus one at Willy Wonka's factory. It's
yeah.
Like that kind of like, thank you. You know, it just sounds like that. You know, so exciting. You get to go,
exactly.
But you know, or given the opportunity, you know,
yeah.
Or that great line from I think it's Muppets. Yeah, it's Muppets from Space, where Miss Piggy's like, oh, I'm so excited. I have to pee.
That movie doesn't get the credit it deserves.
Yeah, I love that
it
movie.
It doesn't. There are people who balls out hate that movie.
They're wrong.
I hate them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The movie's good. You suck, you know.
Exactly.
You, sir or madam, are filled with suck.
I say it like Pepe.
Filled with suck, you know. Okay, so we've hit an hour. So
I talked all over.
You did not talk all over. Stop it.
No, I stumbled for 20 minutes trying to tell one story. Come on.
And all you were doing was, you know, fucking like most of the male race in that story.
Huh?
You fucked most of the male race in that story.
That part I was trying to forget, you know, but... You
I'm
know,
not going to let you forget that. And remember,
well, I know I'm usually sore after Dragon Con, but Jesus, that I just really took it. I took a beating that time.
And
male
remember,
race.
My back.
What?
Male race,
yes.
Okay.
Species, gender. Remember, you too want to fuck Jason, we take reservations at marsneeds.com. Marsneeds.com,
yes.
That's not a website.
It could be.
We take reservations at marsneeds@gmail.com is what I was trying to say.
No, that's where you take the reservations, is marsneeds.com.
Yeah. Then I have to actually have the website.
No.
No, you don't.
No.
Well, I don't have to, you know, no obligations.
No, you have to put out, dude. For the good of the podcast, you have to put out while you sleep.
Okay. Do I have to be asleep?
No, of course not. You just have to pretend like you're asleep.
Okay.
It depends on who makes the reservations, man. I can't promise anything.
You can't discriminate.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying.
I've gone this far. I can't discriminate now. I can at least stay awake.
I'm going to be a hustler. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Full on midnight cowboy. There we go. I don't care. Better than Midnight Express.
Oh. you can also leave us a message at the website of doom.com. Leave us a review on iTunes or just all around be cool. I, you know, we haven't gotten a comment of any sort on this show in about 2 months, so feedback's fun. Well, except for the review we got from Shane on iTunes. Thank you, Shane!
Thank you.
So, yeah. I guess that will about wrap things up. Do you have anything you want to say to finish the sucker up, Elizabeth? How about you, Jason?
Yeah!
Anything else, dear? I'll give you another shot.
Yep.
Yikes it away!
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping still. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining. Through the pouring rain, going well, the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze, and skipping over the ocean like a stone.